You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGM. I don't know about you, but I was pretty surprised this morning. I'm watching different TV news outlets, and I hear that Simone Biles has withdrawn from the women's athletic competition, the team gymnastics competition. They talked first about a medical issue, and then it was mental, and then some people said mental, some said medical. It was sort of an odd thing, but she eventually said she stepped back to work on her mindfulness, and she did talk to reporters about it. Here's some of what she said.
No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in. And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
So that is Simone Biles, arguably the greatest gymnast of all time, talking about her withdrawal from team competition. How does that happen? To help us understand it, we turn now to Stuart Shankman. He is the chief of psychology at Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You know, the first thing I will say I thought, and I think I'm pretty sensitive to mental health issues, but it was like, well, she's been here so many times before, and everyone I talked to early on, initially, they expressed shock like that. Well, how could it be that someone who's been in the spotlight for so long and done so well in that spotlight be stressed out about it now? Explain it for us, will you, Doctor?
Sure. So for a lot of elite athletes, a lot of their training and their competition is about routine. And you're right, Simone has been in the spotlight and been on that stage and that top stage for so long. But like she said in the interview, this is a very different context in which she's competing in. You have the sort of the threat of COVID that's sort of lingering over everybody, and the audiences aren't present anymore. And it's just like a different context in which she's trained her entire life in.
I was wondering about that, the fact that her family might not be there. I would imagine if you are in a stressful situation and you're someone who depends on family or friends, it's good to have that support staff there outside of just the team.
Absolutely, yeah. Having besides your coaches, but having your family member that you've leaned on for your entire life. Again, these elite athletes have been training since they were young children, and their parents and family and loved ones have always been there sort of cheering them on. And now in this high pressure situation in the Olympics, to not have them there is can be a shock to pretty much anyone.
But I think we as an audience have this sense that what they're doing is only what they've repeatedly done before. I mean, they're just doing it now in front of us. So the routines, if you will, are almost rote. Not that they're not a physical challenge, but, you know, it's not beyond their capability. They're not surprising themselves on the mat or on the vault. But explain what goes into a competitor's mind when they're doing that, when they're trying to achieve at this world-class level.
Yeah, so much of what they're doing is you're right, it's at least there's muscle memory, but there's a lot of mental components to it as well. It's sort of remembering the routine that you need to do and remembering to also calm yourself down. And if your mind isn't as focused and as razor sharp as it maybe has been in previous years or razor sharp when you're training, you run risk of not performing at the level that you want, and like Simone said, run risk of injury as well.
We're talking to Stuart Shankman. I'm sorry. He's the chief of psychology at Northwestern Medicine. Okay, so, Doctor, when you heard the news today, what did you think?
I was sort of very proud of her, actually, that I think, you know, mental illness is becoming far less stigmatized in our culture. And I think when you have elite athletes like Simone Biles, and when there have been NBA and NFL players that have been, quote-unquote, coming out with mental illness, I think it's ultimately going to have a huge ripple effect on society, where people who are suffering out there are going to feel, oh, wow, if Simone's having difficulty, then, you know, maybe there's not something wrong with me as well.
And you weren't surprised that Simone Biles, who's achieved all that she has achieved, may have come out and said this, that I'm overly anxious, or I'm trying not to use the word stressed out, because obviously there's more to it than that. But you weren't surprised to hear that news.
No. And I wonder if it's going to open the door for other Olympic athletes as well.
I wonder, too, about, and you kind of answered this maybe, had she competed 30 years ago or 40 years ago, there wouldn't have been an allowance for this, right? To think of past athletes, they did they work through it? Did their performance suffer and we just didn't know why?
Yeah, I'm sure that happened with either Olympic athletes or other professional athletes as well, that it was the message was you need to buck up, you need to tough up, and if your head's not on, if your head's not in the game, so to speak, then you need to get it in the game. And you know, we didn't make the exceptions for or allowances, I should say, for stress and mental difficulties like we would for if somebody has a hurt hip or a hurt ankle. Then that's totally acceptable. Sure, you need to rest your ankle, you need to rest your hip. But if you need to rest your mind 30 years ago, that was unacceptable.
Stuart Shankman is the chief of psychology at Northwestern Medicine. You know, we should also point out, and I'm sure this added to the stress, this was her first Olympic since the Dr. Larry Nassar ordeal, mm-hmm. and her talking about being abusive or being abused. And I'm sure that was probably somewhere in the recesses of her mind as well.
Yeah, I wonder too. That's a good question. That it's her training over the last 4 years hasn't just been sort of preparing her body physically, but you know, dealing with sort of the emotional backlash, I guess, of quote unquote coming out of being a victim.
Well, and so if you're proud of her and she stepped back, and we don't know yet if she's going to compete in the individual sports or competitions events, but you talked about the ripple effect. What do we do? As human beings ourselves, if we recognize or start to feel those sorts of things that Simone Biles talked about feeling today?
Yeah, I think, you know, reaching out to your primary care doctor or reaching out to a therapist or a psychologist for basically an assessment to see, hey, is what I'm going through okay, or should we get some intervention here? And I think people, you know, too long have been sort of suffering in darkness and either thinking that there isn't help out there for them or that there's something quote-unquote wrong with them and they don't deserve any kind of help and support.
All right, I think I have a better question. What happens to or what should we do when someone we love or know or maybe is just an acquaintance comes up to us and tells us those very things? I mean, I think a lot of times people reach out to their family members or friends and we don't always have the right answer.
Yeah, I think even if you don't have the right answer, I think if a loved one or friend comes up to you and divulges that they're having, you know, some difficulty, I think the important thing is just to be supportive, to be there, to be an ear for them to talk to and to try and, you know, help them find the help and treatment that might make them feel better.
To not react the way I reacted, saying, Simone Biles, how could you possibly feel that way? You've done this so many times before.
Exactly, yeah, because the big thing that does in our world, we call that invalidating, and you don't want to invalidate. It's one of the worst things you can kind of do when a person starts suffering, because then they are even less likely to come to divulge with their suffering the second time around.
And talk to me a little bit more about what it is, how it is that we validate someone.
Yeah, so to validate somebody, you sort of validate the feelings that they're having. So not necessarily like what they're going through in their head, but just validate, well, it sounds like you're really upset. It sounds like this has been a really stressful time with you. So validating the emotions, the feelings that the person has.
I'm sorry you're going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Stuart
right.
Shankman.
Yeah, but not just that. Yeah, not just that. Sorry going through that. I'm sorry that you're feeling so upset. Again, acknowledging the specific feeling.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Stuart Shankman is the chief of psychology at Northwestern Medicine. A lot of us are going to go through some psychological issues when we're being told to put our masks back on. And, you know, that's happening around the country now. Collectively, how do you think we're going to react to that? Because I have to tell you, I was a big mask wearer. I followed all of the rules. I'm vaccinated now. And if they tell me I should put a mask back on to protect people who didn't get vaccinated, I'm going to be kind of ticked off. I'll do it because I'm going to do what I think is right. But there's got to be a lot of psychology. It's a lot of things that guys like you are looking at there, too.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of frustration for sure when people are told to put masks back on, largely because either people are unvaccinated, but maybe it would be important for people to remind themselves that what ideally just going to be a short-term thing, that just until more people get vaccinated, particularly people who aren't able to get vaccinated due to some pre-existing conditions, that for those people, if we as a general society need to temporarily put masks back on, for the greater good, it's important to do.
That's Stuart Shankman. He's the chief of psychology at Northwestern Medicine, and today he taught us a new way to watch the Olympics. Thanks for that, Doctor. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.